I'm going to tell you something that a lot of people think, but very few really want to say out loud. Heaven sounds boring. Clouds, halos, and harps, bright lights, sitting around in a throne room all day long singing praise songs. And then you repeat it every single day for eternity. There's no parties, there's no nights, there's no holidays. There's no accidentally burning your dinner. There's no stubbing your toe and shouting out an obscenity. Or falling asleep watching TV. It sounds so tedious, so dull and mind-numbing, monotonous and uninteresting. And why, if this was people's perception, was it dangled as motivation for a carrot, like a carrot, for so long? And why did people go with it? Now, I have to say that I will acknowledge that this is mostly the popular conception of heaven. Scripture is far more nuanced. But popularity really does impact how we think and how others think. And I think that if you were to take a swath of people, religious or not, and ask them, what does heaven look like? I'm willing to bet that it will bear more resemblance to clouds and St. Peter and pearly gates than to anything we see in the Bible. Which I think is a real shame. Because today, Isaiah offers us a far, far more splendid vision of the future. One where everyone is united with God and one another. Isaiah writes, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear." It's a banquet. It's a dinner party. It is a feast. And if you look back at the Hebrew, very literally, this text is telling us that a feast will be prepared in front of us, and it will be a feast of fat things. I like that. I like to imagine that it is all of my favorite indulgent things, with huge pizzas and pints of ice cream and cookies, donuts. Basically, it's the hungry caterpillar's dream. I'll pass on the one with perfect people and white robes and bright lights and harps, but a feast. I can get behind a feast. Unlike other visions of the afterlife, a feast is something that is shared. A feast is something that is communal. A feast is a celebration that happens with other people. A feast can't happen alone. Which is exactly why, week after week, we come to church and we gather around a meal. We come to church and share stories of our God and examples in the faith who have gone before us. We practice making peace with one another. We practice praying and caring for one another. This is our practice feast before the big feast. In the earliest days of Christianity, Christians celebrated a love feast, and this was a big communal meal during which the Eucharist was celebrated, and communion was shared. And though these two practices have diverged, the central action is the same. It is what we do at this table week after week, year after year. Bread and wine are gathered. They are blessed. They are broken. And then shared with the community. The ritual practice of sharing in communion forms us. Each time we all come to church, we all are gathered. We all are blessed. We all are broken, and we are released into the world to carry out the teachings and practices that form us here. That doing this, this practice shapes us to instinctively share ourselves to serve the world. And in doing so, it forms us so that we can better seek God, so that we can follow God more readily and help to bring about the good life, the reign of God, and the flourishing for all creation. And I want to leave you with one final story. It goes like this. A holy man was having a conversation with the Lord one day and said, "Lord, I would like to know what heaven and hell are like." The Lord led the holy man to two doors. He opened one of the doors and the holy man peered in. In the middle of the room was a large round table, and in the middle of that table was a pot of stew which smelled delicious. It made the holy man's mouth water. The people sitting around the table were thin and sickly. They appeared to be famished. They were holding spoons with very long handles that were strapped to their arms, and each found it possible to get their spoon to the pot of stew and take a spoonful. But because the handle was longer than their arms, they couldn't get the spoon back to their mouth. The holy man shuddered at the sight of their misery and suffering. The Lord said, "You have seen hell." Then they went to the next room and opened the door. It was exactly the same as the first one. There was the large round table with the pot of stew which made the holy man's mouth water, and the people were still equipped with the same long-handled spoons. But here, the people were nourished and plump. They were laughing and talking with each other. The holy man said, "I don't understand." God said, "It is simple. It requires but one skill. You see, they have learned to feed each other, while the greedy ones only think of themselves. The saints have learned this before us. Those we love and see no longer, they have gone ahead walking in love and taken their seats at this table. They are waiting for us to join them. Which table will you be sitting at?"